Ah, a birthday party. Today is the birthday of the church, and I'm curious to know what gift did you bring to the church's birthday party? Okay, where's your gift? I got mine. I'm good. I mean, I can't believe you'd come to a birthday party without a gift. Really? Seriously? Wow. You know what? I guess your gift this morning is going to have to be yourself, your whole self, and nothing else. I got mine. One thing we know for sure, and that is what our Lord Jesus wanted to give the church at its first birthday, Pentecost. In the readings this morning, we know that Jesus' idea of a gift to the church on its birthday would be the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but the Holy Spirit seems to be a bit of an odd gift, doesn't it? I mean, what are you going to do with the Holy Spirit? Speak in tongues? Of course not. You're Lutheran. We don't speak in tongues. In fact, sometimes we don't speak about our faith at all. I think all of you, though, have it sometimes, and some of you might even admit to have done this. All of us at some time have received the odd gift, right? The odd gift. What do you do with the odd gift, huh? And as I said, some of you might have heard the fact that you have actually given the odd gift. Last October, everybody in this congregation knows what day my birthday is. What day is my birthday?
October 4th.
Oh, October 4th. You know, the first thing is I told you when I came here 20 years ago. And I have reminded you ever since because you all know my gift calls. My birthday comes at the beginning of the month. I accept gifts throughout the month. Seriously, Mark, feel free. Oh, we already gave it to Susan. Nice. So what happened when the disciples got the Spirit? Well, in addition to be able to speak fluently in many languages and people to understand them, Peter, he's the first one that wants to jump out of the boat and walk on water. He's the first one that says it. Not me, Lord. Everybody else here, you know, is going to, you know, turn their back on you, but not me. Peter, he's the first to do everything. Peter preaches his first sermon. That's what happens when you get the Spirit. Imagine this. There they are out there in the street. People think they're drunk. You got to love Peter's answer, right? At least if nothing else, you know, I mean, the guy is logical. You're drunk. He says, no, it's only 9 o'clock. What does he do? Well, he mounts the steps of a pulpit and preaches his, well, no, wait. He's outside. I don't know, maybe he stood on a park bench. Yeah, maybe he stood. You know what would have been cool, though? It would have been cool if he would have said to that disciple whom Jesus loved, hey, come here, kneel down, let me get on your shoulders. I'm going to preach. And that is exactly what Peter did. And in that sermon, he says something that's remarkable. And everyone heard this in their own language. He says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And now we know for a fact that Peter didn't even believe that. But he said that because that's what the Spirit does. We know for a fact that he didn't believe that because we know that a few chapters later in the book of Acts, he's going around saying to the new converts, oh, wait a second. You cannot be Christian until you're first Jewish. And if you're a male, we all know what that means, right? And we're just not going to go into a big thing about it, okay? Right? You know what I mean? Because it makes me want to, like, cross my legs. But that's what Peter wanted to do. He wasn't clear about it at all when he said, everyone will be saved who calls on the name of the Lord. But we know the story. We know that that Spirit brought Peter to another place. That vision with all those different kinds of animals coming down in that sheet, unclean and clean together. And it was truly a vision for Peter. And when he woke up from that dream, he knew he had to go to Joppa, and he knew what he had to do. He had to fulfill what the gift of the Spirit had given him, and that was everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And he was right out in front of everybody again, being Peter, except for Paul, who was there already before him. Because we know that even though Luke gives us a very sanitized and nice account of the meeting between Peter and Paul over this issue, the Apostle Paul minces no words. He says, Peter, you're a wuss. He says, you guys haven't got this right. I've had it right since the get-go. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone? Wow. Do you believe that? You and I have the gift of the Spirit. We receive it in the waters of holy baptism. It is an odd gift indeed. And yet, we all know what to do with this odd gift, and that is to re-gift. You've done it before, you can do it again. To take that gift of the Spirit, that Spirit in which everyone is included. What is happening this morning on Pentecost, it's not that a door has been opened, not even a huge gate, but it's as if there is a crater to which now the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of grace, God's grace, is for everyone. No one is excluded, and everyone who walks through that huge opening is included. All of this because Jesus thinks that the best gift to give to the church is the Holy Spirit. The giving of the Holy Spirit isn't something we can keep in a cage or tethered to a building. The very nature of the Holy Spirit is for it to take flight, to blow where it will, to land where it will. It is an odd gift, this Holy Spirit. But we know what to do. We know how to re-gift that Spirit. We who come to this table every Sunday once again are affirmed in that gift of the Spirit. Once again, we who are forgiven are given that good news to go into the world to be instruments of God's grace, to be people who re-gift the Holy Spirit. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.